The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Dee Reddy and John Cadell are with us for our weekly music spot. And John, I noticed you had taken to Twitter today. You were worried for the future of one of your favourite magazines, Q. Why is it in doubt?
Like a lot of print media at the moment, Matt, it is struggling in the wake of coronavirus. The distribution in the shops obviously isn't great. Half the shops aren't open. The advertising has hit the wall, apparently, and Q magazine, which has been going since 1986 and I've been getting since 1992, looks as though it may be closing. It may close, it might merge with another magazine, or it could be sold. But the owners, Bauer Media, are in a consultation process with employees now for the next 30 days.
So hold on, Q magazine, why have you remained a fan of it since nearly your tender years? Why does it still appeal to you?
Well, because it is one of the few music magazines that concentrates primarily on contemporary music. I mean, you have Mojo, which is another magazine, I guess, which is all about, you know, heritage artists, really. And Uncut is something similar. Uncut's the other major monthly music magazine. But Q has never been afraid to stay with the times. Now, the problem there, Matt, is that young people, inverted commas, don't buy magazines the way that they used, the way that we used to. I mean, when I was a lot younger, when I was in college and that, it was one of the only places that you'd go to find out about what your favourite bands were doing. Of course, now in the age of the internet and everybody reading everything online, magazines don't fulfil that role anymore, and they seem to be somewhat redundant, certainly to music fans who get all of their music info direct from their artists on social media or on websites. So Q magazine has been suffering for quite a few years, and the COVID-19 impact on the finances for the magazine have just accelerated everything. So stuff that, you know, that could have taken years to happen has happened in a number of weeks, and they're up against it.
Dee Reddy, as our younger contributor, do you read music magazines? Get anything out of them?
Not to the same extent that John would, Matt. Like I would get most of my music news online, truth be told. I think though, even when I was in my teens, I wouldn't have been as into them as maybe John was. I've always had personally a funny relationship with music and film magazines, which are both art forms that I absolutely love. I always found as a teenage girl that they were placed on the top shelf in the newsagent along with the girly mags, if you know what I mean. So you had to rummage through them if you wanted to find something that you were interested in other than fashion. So it kind of left me with a kind of weird personal feeling about them, to be perfectly honest. So finding that I can get all the access to news and information and great articles that I have done online just suits me better.
Okay. Did you watch the Eurovision night last Saturday evening, Dee?
I caught parts of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I was part of a WhatsApp group that was extremely active during it. It was a nice thing. I think that they put it on under the circumstances.
Was it not a complete bore? Did they not suck all of the joy out of Eurovision with everybody coming on with the same pious platitudes about how we'd all get through this? Yeah, we know that. Give us some entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did give a bit of entertainment, and certainly the group that I was party to, they were betting money on it, so that probably added to things a little bit more.
So, John, did you watch it?
No. I detest Eurovision. I detest it. It's not a song contest at all. It's a joke. Anybody who says it's a song contest, like, doesn't really have a very high regard for music. It's dreadful. I mean, I can see the kitsch value in it, but don't call it the Eurovision Song Contest. It's the Eurovision Kitsch Contest. Nonsense. Why would I watch that? I've better things to do, like bemoaning the fact that BBC Four might be closing, the Stranglers keyboard player died, and now Q magazine is probably going to shut. So it's been a hell of a year.
Okay, well, there was, I don't know, Dee, did Ireland do what is the listener's or the viewer's favourite Eurovision song ever? They did it in Britain and they came out with this winner from 1974 in ABBA.
My eye,
So I suppose, John, you don't like that or ABBA either, is it?
I adore that, and I adore ABBA. But you cannot equate ABBA and their brilliance to the fact that once they were in the Eurovision. That's probably
sure, it's what announced them to the world, wasn't it? Would we ever have heard of ABBA if they hadn't won Eurovision?
Well, that I don't know. But, you know, like the cream always rises and all that sort of stuff, Matt. But it's brilliant. I mean, we were asked to supply for tonight's music slot our favourite Eurovision song. Now, I didn't go for ABBA at Waterloo, but it wasn't very difficult because there are so few good songs that came out of Eurovision. So I thought, you know, usually when asked for your favourite anything to do with music, it's a mammoth task. But this one was quite easy because there's so few classics that have come out of Eurovision. It was quite
easy.
All right,
give us your pick. Give us your pick.
It was a tough one, Matt, and I don't even love this song so much, but it's the best of a bad lot. It's Puppet on a String by Sandy Shaw.
Sandy Shaw sung it, but written by Phil Coulter.
By Phil Coulter.
I wonder if one day that you say that you care. If you say you love me madly, I gladly be there. Like a puppet on a string. Like a merry-go-round with all the fun of the fair. One day I'm feeling down on the ground, then I'm up in the air. Are you leading me on? Tomorrow will you be gone? I wonder if one day that you say that.
So, John, why did you pick that?
Because I like the jauntiness of it, and it's got a nice sort of like descending melody line, and there was bugger all else to choose from, really.
Phil Coulter was a fantastic guest on the Culture Club a few months ago. If people want to catch up with that, it should be on our webpage at todayfm.com.
Great songwriter.
And a great character. He had some great stories when he was on the programme with us. You've gone for an Irish winner, D, but you haven't picked a Johnny Logan song, and indeed you haven't picked, which I think the Irish viewers picked as their favourite, Rock and Roll Kids.
Yeah, no, I went with In Your Eyes, which was sung by Niamh Kavanagh. I think that was probably my first like really, really big impact memory of the Eurovision and watching it at home and being so excited that an Irish girl had won. And even I actually vividly remember seeing her interviewed a couple of days later on the news, and I think she was working in a bank or something at the time. Like, it made the whole thing seem so magic and yet you know, within grasp at the same time. And it was really, really excited, and I bloody loved that song as well. I had it on cassette. Much to my sister's annoyance, used to play it an awful lot because it was on the radio as well, don't forget.
And of course, she had a terrific voice, and she really belted it out in Mill Street that night.
Yeah, she absolutely did. I only discovered today, actually, when I was looking into it, that the original demo of that song was sung by Idina Menzel, who has become globally famous ever since. And obviously, that was just the demo that was shown to Kavanagh, and on the basis of that, she went forward and sang the song because she initially apparently wasn't too sure about appearing on the Eurovision, but just as well, she did.
Okay, let's hear a bit of it.
My feelings left inside. Made myself an island, trying to take my heart and hide. Built a wall around me, afraid of letting go. But suddenly an open door I never saw.
So, John Cadell, why didn't you pick that?
Because it's muck.
Oh, come on.
What? Matt, you muck. Know, the only other good song that came out of Eurovision wasn't even a great song. It was just an earworm, Making Your Mind Up by Bucks Fizz. But I don't rate Johnny Logan. I don't, like, everybody seems to like him, ironically, for some reason. Not bad songs, but, like, you know, the Rock and Roll Kids, not a bad song, but there's very few magnificent songs that have come out of Eurovision, because it isn't a song contest. It's just
you had that line earlier. Dee, can you defend the other Irish winners?
I think in more recent years, to be fair to John, it has become less of a song contest, but I think it's deeply unfair over 65 years of history that this competition has to say that it was never, and that no good songs have come out of it. There's been plenty. They're just not your type of music, John.
Well, name some, Dee. Name some that spring to mind within Eurovision classics. Name a few.
We've just named a few there. There's ABBA, obviously, Waterloo, and that's not even their only one. They have Ring Ring as well. There's the Rock and Roll Kids. There's the one I've just played there. There's the one you chose yourself. There's Eloise. There's heaps of them.
There's five. That's five after 65 years.
Like, you asked me to name off the top of my head, and I was able to come up with five straight away back at you. It's not your type of music, and that's okay. But to say that it was never a song competition is nonsense.
Yes, John, it can. Let's move on, John, and let's talk about the 40-year anniversary, which was yesterday, the death of the Joy Division frontman Ian Curtis 40 years ago. Let's hear one of the most famous Joy Division tracks. Famous Joy Division song, Ian Curtis died by suicide 40 years ago yesterday at the age of just 23. But talk about, John, talk about Joy Division's mark that it left.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, they are one of the most influential bands out of anywhere. You think of immediately of the bands who obviously bow at the altar of Curtis and the lads. You think of Editors, you think of Interpol. You think of the National, they are all massively influenced by Joy Division. I mean, even Peter Hook and how cool he looked with the bass slung low at his knees playing with Joy Division. And you even listen to the songs, Love Will Tear Us Apart. It is, like, majestic, but it's so simple. There is not much going on musically in the song, but when it all comes together, and with Curtis, we hadn't heard a voice like that before. It all coming together, and even with the simple melodies, it just, the sum is so much greater than the parts. They only had, I think, two albums officially, but, you know, they only needed two albums to solidify their legendariness. And of course, the sorry thing about it is that we didn't get more from them. Poor Ian Curtis, and Curtis was a tortured soul, and died by his own hand the night before they were due to go to America to tour. And, of course, they became, they morphed, rather, into New Order. And I was reading from Peter Hook saying that he was annoyed at Ian Curtis when Ian died, which is, you know, a pretty brave thing to say. You know, it's usually all about the, you know, God love him and what must he have been feeling. And Hook obviously felt like it's as though Ian Curtis and his talent had been stolen from the band by him taking his own life. But, yeah, a hugely influential band. And, you know, that term is bandied around.
Okay.
And maybe it lasts for a few years, but Joy Division have been considered essential for 40 plus years.
Dee, do you want to add anything on Joy Division?
I mean, I would echo everything that John said. I think it is a remarkable thing to, you know, have only been that band for 4 years. And 40 years later, you're still being celebrated. And it just shows what a tragic loss he was.
Your pick of the week, please, Dee.
My pick of the week this week, Matt, is Soda Blonde. They have released a 4-track EP, which is available for the small sum of a fiver on Bandcamp. And it's called Isolation Content. And it's all been written, recorded, produced and mixed in isolation.
And the track we're going to hear is I Hear Birds.
I did it as well as I could. You get out of bed properly, and that means all the way out of it.
If you have a weak heart, that means
that, Dee. Tell us a bit about them again.
It's Soda Blonde. That's Fair Work you're hearing sing there. They were, what, John, what was the name of their previous band?
Cars, something to do with Cars.
Walking on Cars.
No, it wasn't. The other one. It was the other one. Yeah. But it's
Little
basically
Green Cars.
That's Little it. Green Thank Cars. You, Matt. God, you should have known that. But yeah, so Soda Blonde is kind of their new outfit, and Faye is very much at the forefront, being the lead singer now. And it, like, they're producing some great stuff. And this is basically, they've just put together this EP while they're all in isolation, in the hopes of being able to get a bit of money together so that they can keep recording once things get a bit more back to normal.
Okay, well, that's it. She has a fantastic voice. No,
she really
John
does.
Cadell has come into the 21st century for his pick to prove that he's done with the kids.
Well, sort of, but the band are called the 1975, so I am sort of sticking to form. Yeah, their new album, their fourth album, it sounds like the name of a boring textbook, Notes on a Conditional Form, but they're far from boring. They're one of the bands around these days who I think of something about them. Certainly frontman Matty Healy is razor sharp. Their album's out on Friday, Notes on a Conditional Form. And it's only 2 years since their last one, so fair play to them. And the one we're going to play is, I think, If You're Too Shy, Let Me Know.
I think you win this week, the Dirt D.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it sounds like the 80s, so that's why I like it. I thought that's what you were going to say, something like that, Matt, but you didn't. You don't like
There's
it,
There's a
no?
touch of the Rick Astley's about it, all right. Tell us, Dee, can you tell us about America's first socially distanced concert, which apparently took place this week? What did it look like?
So I got a little bit excited when I was reading about this initially, because it was describing that attendees sat in fan pods located about 6 feet apart. And I was like, God, that sounds pretty cool. What did they look like? Rather disappointingly, Matt, they were actually just groups of chairs that had been placed together. So not as exciting as I had thought. The venue's kind of 1,100 person maximum capacity had been reduced to 229 seats. And actually all attendees' temperatures were registered upon arrival as well. But they had actually, I think, put it back by about 3 days to make sure that they were meeting the requirements that had been set by the governor in Arkansas.
OK, we better leave it there. Thank you very much to both of you, Dee Reddy and John Cadell, for being with us here on The Last Word.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.